Now, will you quickly take the sheet that says problems and misunderstandings that cause confusion, weakness, and division among fundamentalists? Every movement has its strengths. And as you know, you that are married people especially, every strength of character seems to have a corresponding weakness that goes with it. And the strength of the fundamentalist movement is the fact that it is a movement that has deep convictions. But the corresponding weakness is that sometimes our convictions extend to minor matters and cause a lot of divisions, rather than centering on the major things in column one truth. Sometimes we exercise these strong convictions about the wrong things. See, that's the weakness. So we've got to be careful. Now, the strength of the new evangelical movement is its emphasis on love, and the corresponding weakness is they love everybody and separate from no one. See? So, if you will, what are some of the areas? Number one, some people have the idea that the biblical commands concerning unity, get along with your brethren, love your brethren, be one with your brethren, and separation. Note them. Admonish them as a brother. Separate from them. Some people feel these two are mutually exclusive, and many fundamentalists think that the commands concerning love and unity don't rightly apply to fundamentalists. But they do. And I will never forget, I preached at a conference in Central California, on the unity of fundamentalists and God's commands to love one another and get along and don't split and divide and criticize your brethren. And the first talk in the recess in the men's room was that Pastor Innes has gone soft and he's compromising. Well, now listen, obeying the Word of God is not compromise. And it is just as clearly commanded that I must love my preacher brothers. I must love Billy Graham. I must love Jerry Falwell. I must love Dr. Dobson. That is just as much a command as I must separate under certain conditions. They're both divine commands. And they both are obligatory. They both put me under God's authority. And fundamentalists are just as much bound to love their brethren and not to disturb the unity of the brethren as they are to separate. You say, but oh, that makes it hard. Yes, indeed, it makes it hard. That's why we've got the columns of truth. We don't separate in many ways over column 2 and 3 and 4 truth. We separate over column 1 truth. We need to know when to separate and when to have unity. And that's why we gave you that chart, to kind of help you figure that out. Number two, the failure to distinguish between various categories of truth that we teach and preach. That is, preaching column 1, 2, and 3, and 4 with the same level of authority and insisting that everything we believe and practice, regardless of whether or not it's clearly taught in Scripture, is essential to fundamentalism and therefore a test of fellowship. Now, we had listed in one of our charts the exclusivists. And there are other issues that they add in. You're not a fundamentalist if, and if, and if, and if, and if, and if, and they're in column 2 and column 3. Well, the fundamentalist is not defined by column 2 and 3 truth. He's confined by clear truth that is unmistakably taught in the Word of God. And that causes a lot of difficulties. There are a lot of brethren that claim to be fundamentalists, they don't talk to each other, they don't get along with each other. It is disturbing how many schisms and divisions there are among those who actually do agree on column one truth. And the hard words and the hard feelings, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Number three, This is an important one, the inability to distinguish between fellowship on an individual basis and joint participation on a church basis. Those are two different things. And I can have fellowship with a dear brother who has agreed on column one truth, but we may have some strong differences on column two, and we it would cause confusion to have church fellowship. But I'm not compromising if I fellowship with him on an individual basis. And if I want have joint participation with him, it doesn't mean I hate him. We can get together and talk and pray and encourage one another. But there may be some other differences in other areas that are just a little too strong, and we just can't work together as a church. So, fellowship on an individual basis does not require agreement on all the minor details. And some people think that if I would get together with Dr. McElhinney, and by the way, he's a fundamentalist as far as I know. But see, we teach different things and we'd have some confusion if we weren't careful, say. So I have good fellowship with him and we can pray together and work together and encourage one another in some things. But joint church participation is not always possible. They're good men. And we can have fellowship without compromising with these men who are right on column one truth. Number four, failure to regard obedience to be equally essential to fundamentalism with belief. This is a real problem. People define fundamentalism in terms of a half dozen major biblical doctrines, and if you believe those, you're fundamentalist. That's not true. Fundamentalism is built on the clear teachings and clear commands of Scripture. Number five, relating fundamentalism to personalities rather than to clearly taught biblical principles, along with a failure to understand and identify these principles. Number six, confusing cultural traditions and certain methods and philosophies of ministry with timeless fundamental truth and clearly revealed biblical principles, and assuming that conformity to certain outward standards and practices makes one a fundamentalist. Now, I know some brethren. A whole circle of men whose dogma is this. You cannot have a formal church service and be a fundamental church. To be a fundamental, soul-winning church, you must have an informal, evangelistic service on Sunday morning. Now, where in the Word of God do you read that? You don't. Let's go back to Dr. D. James Kennedy. Have you ever watched his service on television? You talk about beautiful choir robes. You talk about a beautiful auditorium. You talk about wonderful organ music. I think his organist is going to play in heaven. And you talk about dignity, and he wears his robe. And I don't know another church in America that wins more souls than Dr. Kennedy's church does. The kind of church service you have is not measure you as a fundamentalist. It's column one truth that measures fundamentalism. Number seven. A failure to regard clear biblical commands concerning a separation as essential to a fundamentalist position. If you are going to choose a column one command or biblical truth that really makes the difference between the fundamentalist and between the new evangelical, it would have to be that teaching in the Word of God about separation. It would have to be that. Number eight, confusing combativeness with militancy and a gentle spirit with compromise. Boy, is this a problem. You have some bombastic fundamentalist like your pastor. I don't know, you don't think I've ever tried to be quiet, do you? I've worked for 50 years in trying to quiet down. And it doesn't work for me. So a fundamentalist has got to be a loud, pulpit-pounding guy, and if he's not a loud, pulpit-pounding guy, he can't be a fundamentalist. Baloney. There are all different kinds of fundamentalists. Some of them would never raise their voice. Some fundamentalists, and I mean they are strong and insistent, principled men who teach their churches right and stand right on the issues, and they never raise their voice. They haven't in their life. Gentlemanly gentlemen, but tall and straight and true and right on the truth. Notice there, substituting name-calling for a clear exposition of biblical principles and an insistence on the practice of those principles. Now, did you wonder, you think I forgot about those two guys? Ah, we didn't forget them. We got guy number one and we got guy number two here on our chart. Now let's take a look here at the last one here, number nine. I'm looking, you look at your chart, but look also now on your outline on problems and misunderstandings. We're looking at the last one because the last one on here pertains to these two guys. Alright? Evaluating a man's position based on where he is in the present rather than the direction where he is headed. Some men who are very close to us in position will soon be far away. And some who are quite a distance away in the present may someday join us in the fundamentalist movement. This is an interesting phenomenon. Preacher number one, and we'll call him a preacher, preacher number one here on the chart is very close to us in position, but notice that little arrow because it shows he's making movement. He's moving away. Preacher number two is quite a ways away, but he is concerned. He's been reading his Bible, and he's getting troubled about things he sees. And he's asking questions, and he's beginning to move back in this direction. From which of these two men would I separate first? Number one or number two? I would separate from number one first. Number two, I would take under my wing. And as he moves in this direction, I would embrace him more and more. You have a lot of good men in the new evangelical movement, listen to me carefully, who are there simply because that's the way they were raised. They went to those kinds of schools. They see all of the good, which we recognize to be present. They're a part of this. But if they are men who clearly study God's Word and feel a personal obligation to live under the authority of God's Word, these men, and some of them do, some of them are, some of them have, these men will move, some of them, and will become solid fundamentalists as time goes on. Brother Robert Heimers from L.A., was solidly in the new evangelical orbit at one point in time. And as he studied the Word of God, and as he evaluated his relationship to the Word of God and to the Lord, he has moved out of this orbit into a solid fundamentalist orbit. So you see, it's not so much as to where a man is right now, as to where the man is headed. Where will he be 5 years, 10 years from now? That is the question. So, it is important to know. I don't know when I'll separate from number one, but I know I'll have my eye on that guy and I'll begin to just withdraw and withdraw and withdraw. Now, I may talk to him personally and admonish him, which is really my responsibility. But if he cannot see it and he continues to move in that direction, then I will begin to remove my fellowship and my participation and I'll take it somewhere else. We had a dear, precious brother at our last Fundamental Baptist Fellowship meeting. He's this number two guy. And he's been studying the Word of God. And he's grown to love the Lord Jesus. And he's in love with the Scriptures. And he called me and he said, "What is this fundamentalism all about? God's been dealing with me in my life and I can see that what's going on here in this new evangelical orbit is wrong. And I'd like to get myself positioned according to the Bible." What a joy. What a joy. So, not everybody moves from a fundamentalist position to new evangelical and then neo-orthodox. Usually, by the way, those who are fundamental will not become neo-orthodox. They'll just move over close. But institutions, churches, denominations, colleges, seminaries, They'll move all the way over into the liberal column as Yale and Harvard have, and Princeton, University of Pacific, Chicago, University of Chicago. They'll make that journey all the way over there as an institution. Individuals rarely make that journey over there. They'll make it over close, but those who are genuinely saved will not make that journey all the way over. Well, may the Lord give us insight with biblical. The reason we call ourselves fundamentalists is because we identify ourselves as agreed on column one truth. Those are the fundamentals. And those who hold the fundamentals and will not compromise the fundamentals are thereby called fundamentalists. So may the dear Lord give us a faithful life and ministry. And may the dear Lord grant that Hamilton Square Baptist Church 100 years from now will be preaching the same message and the same truths. And may God grant that thousands of people will be saved through a biblical ministry preaching a biblical message in the years to come.